Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 138 of the Big Boo Cast. A few days ago, I asked y'all on Instagram if you had any questions you would like us to answer in this episode, and yes you did. So on this episode, we're going to answer a bunch of your questions. We're going to talk about how we met. We're going to talk a little bit about the one child each thing. We're going to talk about what Melanie actually means when she says that they've gone to the ranch. What's that all about? Before we get to all of that, though, I want to tell you about something that Melanie and I both love with our whole undivided hearts, and that is FabFitFun. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full size, all the way full size, beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of $200. And you will find the most fun things inside. You might find skincare from Glam Glow or Kate Somerville or Dr. Brandt. You might find fashion items from Vince Camuto or Free People or Michael Stars. You might find beauty products from Tarte or Moroccan Oil or Zoya. One of my favorite things that I have run across in a FabFitFun box lately. So don't miss out. The FabFitFun boxes sell out fast, and fortunately, you can subscribe using our coupon code and get $10 off your first box. So here's what you do. You go to FabFitFun.com and use the code BIGBOO, B-I-G-B-O-O, so you can save $10 off your first box, which will make it only $39.99. Again, that's FabFitFun.com and use the code BIGBOO for $10 off your first box. What a fun way to treat yourself and feel like it's your birthday four times a year. Alrighty, y'all. As always, we are so glad you're here. And remember, if you're here, you're home. Here we go with episode 138. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And we have so many questions we're going to try to answer today.
We do. So many questions. Now, before we get to the questions, I just have to tell you that I was on Twitter briefly because, as I just told you, I had just had a carpool situation that required me to sit in the junior school traffic line for a long time.
Yes.
And so while I was scrolling Twitter on my phone, I saw a hashtag that said Free Britney. So, of course, I clicked to see what's happening because, I mean,
I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Well, yeah. So, Free Britney, what's happening? Well, apparently, I had just read an article last week that said that her dad is very ill. And, you know, he has been the head of her conservatorship that began kind of when she had her bad year, 2007, 2006, whenever that was.
Yes.
So he's been the head of her conservatorship. Well, he's in bad health. And so I guess the conservatorship only lasts 10 years. Well, now there has been speculation. So then I saw that Britney had been checked into a mental hospital because she has been struggling with the stress of her dad being ill. Well, what I am now seeing is there are allegations that she is being held against her will by people who want power over her Britney empire and do not have her best interest at heart.
Scandalous.
Scandalous. So if you think I'm not going to dig deep into that tonight on the internet, then you don't know me at all. But Free Britney, everybody's very concerned.
Well, I did see that she had gone in for treatment, and I've seen reports like that her boyfriend has gone to see her and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't really know. And I knew her dad was in poor health, but I didn't dig into it. I just kind of took it all at face value. So
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I understand.
We look forward.
Yeah.
To the real story.
Yeah. We'll find out. But apparently the plot thickened because in all the Free Britney tweets, apparently her mom is going through and liking the Free Britney tweets, which adds to the conspiracy theory that something is awry, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll report. We'll have an update on that next time. But I'm just throwing that out there because it feels kind of like the Richard. It feels like the Richard Simmons situation.
My goodness. Next up, a podcast about it.
I mean, that's it. Because you like, I mean, Casey Kasem. Remember, he was being supposedly held against his will.
Forgot about that.
Richard Simmons. Brittany. I mean, I'm just
poor
telling
Brittany.
You.
I mean, she's had a rough go of it.
She has had a rough go of it. She has had a rough go of it. So I feel like it all went downhill for her after Justin Timberlake.
Right. Yeah. As most things do, I feel like.
It would go all. I mean, that's when it would go downhill for me. I mean, where do you go from there? Where do you go? I mean, what's the point?
Where do you go? Which if he and Jessica Biel don't seem like just the most in love people ever. Like, just they just seem to adore one another. I don't follow a ton of celebrities on social media, but of the ones that I do follow, mm-hmm. he and Harry Connick Jr. Yeah. are in the running for the men who just absolutely adore their wives.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. They seem to have a very good relationship.
They do indeed. Well,
yeah.
All right, Brittany. Hang in there, Brittany.
Yeah, yeah. Free Brittany. So just we'll keep you updated as we know more.
Okay. Well, I had no idea.
Okay.
Goodness.
I know. Well, I knew you didn't. I knew you didn't. So I felt like I wanted to tell you before we got to the question portion of this show.
Well, thank you so much. Are there any other updates we need to cover before we get to the question portion of the show?
Not that I know of. I did get really tickled. I forgot to tell you this. So I saw one of my friends over the weekend, and she said that she had had our podcast on in her car, like on her Bluetooth, mm-hmm. and that she'd gotten out of the car, and that later her husband, who also knows me from college, got in her car and said, "Well, I got in your car today." He said, "And I heard Mel on the radio." He said she was on the radio with some friend talking, and she said that wasn't her on the radio. That's a podcast. Like she has podcast. She said, "I think he thought you had a radio show," and we got so tickled.
Well, does he not know that if you're a woman and you're on the radio and you're a Christian, you have to talk like this? You have to say,
"Uh-huh." Nobody's saying, "Hey, y'all, I think Brittany's being held against her will."
That's not happening on Moody Radio. They are not talking on Moody Radio about how Brittany could be held against her will.
No, which is why I don't listen, because that's the kind of news I want. That's the kind of hard-hitting journalism that I am currently interested in.
Golly.
So there you have it. I know. So that's all I've got. That's all the news I have is what I'm telling you.
I have gotten bogged down in, and this is just gut-level true confession. This mm-hmm. is not the nicest, prettiest side of my personality. I don't even.
But that's what we're here for.
I don't even watch her show regularly, but I have mm-hmm. gotten a little dragged into the whole saga with Wendy Williams and her husband. I'm not going to recap that thing here. I'm just going to say God love her is what I'm going to say. God love Wendy yeah. Williams is what I'm going to say.
Well, I feel like now I've got to get updated because I don't really know about this at all.
Okay. Well, I won't go into it. Again, not the prettiest side of my personality to just be following after some celebrity gossip, but I just have really felt for her. For a variety of reasons lately. Okay, so we asked on Instagram, or I asked on Instagram yesterday, if anybody had any questions that they might like to ask us. Is your microphone stationary?
I'm sorry, it wasn't, but it is now. It was not. I will admit to you, it is now.
This is why we're going to do Patreon, because we've got to get Melanie a new microphone. Not that Melanie couldn't order the microphone on her own, but she has had a microphone without a tripod now for the better part of a year. And
yeah,
so every time before we record, I say, "Is your microphone stationary?" And she always says, "It is, it is." And every time I edit this podcast, I have to edit out the sounds of Melanie's microphone as it moves. So
it really is stationary right now.
Okay, so when we start our Patreon campaign here, whenever that is, because I don't know if you know this, but trying to get two nines to get something together like this really is. I thought today, like we're so bad at it. We're so bad at it.
Yeah,
I mean, we really, but like, we may need some technology upgrades if we get our Patreon campaign going. We're going to invest back in this podcast and maybe even get us some microphones that you can attach to the wall.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, maybe so. That would probably be, maybe some better headphones. I'm just saying, never have two people achieved so much with so little. Which may be our tagline.
Yes, exactly. Here's the thing. It's not like the Patreon thing. It's not happening because we haven't talked about it. We talk about it all the time. How we'd really like to do it. But like right now, our challenge is they want you to put up a video and we're in two separate places. And I don't know how to edit a video. And I'm sure not going to go hire somebody to do a video. I mean, that would defy all logic for us to actually try to do something professionally.
I know. But I just told you, I think I can do a video. I contribute. Listen, this is what y'all need to know. I contribute nothing to this podcast other than getting on my non-stationary microphone and talking. That's the extent of my commitment. But I do think I know how to do a video.
Okay. All right. Which, here we go. So we asked for questions. I had several questions from my friend John, who I grew up with, that were just straight State Ole Miss trolling. Just straight trash talking questions about the State Ole Miss rivalry. I will identify those questions with an answer. Then I had a question. I had a question from Alex that said, "Am I a good son?" And but then we had all kinds of wonderful questions from our friends who listen.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. You can always count on your family to mock you.
I mean, you really can't. Am I a good son? Well, based on how we got along today, maybe. I don't know. You be the judge.
Yeah.
He really is a good son.
I'm going to tell you that my day started today. Let me tell you this, an update. So I got my new American Eagle denim Bermuda shorts that I mentioned on the last podcast.
Yes.
I have to say that they're everything I dreamed of and more. They are so soft. Like, I really think I'm about to order another pair just because I'm afraid something may happen to these and I don't ever want to be without them.
Okay.
And so this morning I put them on to drive Caroline to school because then I was going to go meet a friend for coffee. So I was like, I'm going to put on those shorts or whatever. And Caroline was in a rush for school and she was like, "Mom, come in here. Will you braid my hair? I need you to braid my hair real quick." And like, I went walking out and she just said, and here I am about to braid her. And she looks at me and she goes, "Those shorts are a no." And I was like, well, they're a yes for me. They're a yes for me. So you don't have to wear them. And you're wearing a gigantic sweatshirt that you've worn for 3 days in a row with shorts you can't even see. So just leave me alone. Let me live my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to walk in short security knowing
you
that
are.
I'm going to be mocked. Listen. But I don't even care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. But that's what I'm saying. The family.
I'm telling you what. There's some questions about us and teenagers. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that. We have more questions than we can answer, but here's our thought. On that magical day when we finally get our Patreon thing up and running, we will do some of our bonus episodes. We'll kind of deal with some of the categories that have come up in these questions. That's our hope and our dream. So
perfect.
And maybe in the middle of all that, we're going to run into somebody with the gift of administration who has a background in media. That might be helpful too.
Yeah. That would be great.
Because guess what? We don't have the gift of administration.
Okay. No, we don't.
So the first question is from Jenny Kicker. And she said, this is kind of related to what we were talking about. She said, "Why does Sophie only do the ads?" Melanie, your answer?
Sophie only does the ads because she's the only one that knows how to record the ads. It goes back to all I do is get on here and talk with a broken microphone. That's all I contribute. If it weren't for Sophie, I have to tell y'all, if it weren't for Sophie, this podcast wouldn't exist.
That is not true.
Would not even begin to exist. It's so true. Listen, and I'm fine with that. I'll admit, but you have always known how to do the tech side of it. I mean, albeit not necessarily with excellence, but you know how to do it, which is more than I know how to do.
Well,
so I don't know how to record the ads. So we record the whole thing. Sophie does the ads on her end because she's the one that edits it. And so she knows where to put the ads in and how to do the music and all that. So that's why.
And honestly, I don't like, because the podcast kind of, like, we never had a plan, which is shocking, I know, to everyone. So we didn't have ads initially. And then when people started to contact us about doing advertising, I just kind of had to figure it out as I edited. And because we live in separate places, We could record ads together, but if y'all think we are organized enough to schedule a time to record ads, you don't know us at all. No. So it's just easier for me just to record the ads and put them in there. So it just is what it is. Maybe that'll change down the road, but for right now, it's our easiest way. Listen, the fact that we ever get one of these things finished is really surprising.
It really is.
So, because really one of the reasons why we were so sporadic back when we first started the podcast is because sometimes I would just get like 3/4 of the way through an episode and be like, this is terrible. I'm not finishing it.
Yeah.
So really, like, I'll record the ads all day long if we can actually finish them. So that's a victory.
Yeah. So that's why you do it.
Okay. So here, this question we got more than any other. I mean, hands down, we got this question at least 10 times. And I picked the one from Eleanor's Montana Life because it was the first one I saw. And here's the thing. The question is, how did you two meet? And I think because we kind of grew up together through blogging, I'm surprised that people don't know the story. But I have to remind myself that a lot of people who listen to the podcast weren't around back when we were blogging all the time.
Yeah.
So, that's right. So Melanie, would you like to tell everybody how we met?
So we met, as all good couples do, on the internet is how we met. We met in 2006. Is that right?
That's right.
Is that right? We met in 2006. So Sophie, I had found Sophie's blog through, I'm going to remember there was, okay. So, Lisa Welchel, who Blair from Facts of Life had a blog, and she linked to member Sarah at In the Midst of It, who was a blogger who doesn't have a blog anymore. And she was like a worship leader's wife in Dallas or a pastor's wife in Dallas.
Yes. And now they live in Idaho. I still follow her on Instagram.
That's right. Okay. So then one day she mentioned, here are some blogs I like to read. I had started reading blogs when I was on maternity leave with Caroline after I had Caroline. So that 2003.
I started reading blogs too. Yeah. Look at that.
That's when I discovered blogs, because I found them through, I was on all these pregnancy message boards and people started talking about blogs and I was like, oh, what is that? So that's kind of how, so I had been reading. Well, then it was like all of a sudden I found like these Christian moms. So I was like, okay, this is good. And I'm a young mom and I need help. And then she said a blog I love to read is called Boo Mama. So I clicked over and I found Boo Mama and I thought you were hilarious. I thought you were so funny. Looking back, you didn't really have that many posts at the time. I mean, I think
you've only been blogging like 6 months maybe at that point.
Yeah. And so I started my blog in July of 2006. I think you had started in like November. And then, but I think because I found these Christian mom blogs, I was like, oh, maybe I could have a blog. Maybe I'll have a blog. And I never thought I would. I mean, clearly, I never thought I would do anything with it. So all that to say, I started my blog. I named it Big Mama because that's what Caroline was calling me at the time because she wasn't even three. And then you talked about that you had cooked a meal because you were on like this, like on a serving team for your church at the time. And you had cooked like a huge meal when Chris Tomlin had come to your church, right? To play.
He did. He came to our church and did a concert and Louis Giglio preached.
Yes.
And I cooked the food for them. And, I can't remember who opened for them, but I cooked the meal.
Yeah. And you wrote about that. And so, and I knew by then that you went to Mississippi State and I really wanted to be your friend. And so I lured you in and I said, hey, you and I share some of the same things. We both love Jackie Sherrill because he had been a coach at Mississippi State and at Texas A&M and Chris Tomlin. And so then you came over and I never will forget the first time you ever commented on my post, on a post of mine. It was in August because I remember it like it was yesterday.
I'm so tickled.
Okay. It was in August because I had written about it. We had just had Caroline's third birthday party and you said something along the lines of your child is adorable, whatever. And it really, for me at that time, it was as if like, maybe let's go back, like as if Britney Spears had commented on my blog. I was so excited that you had left me a comment. And so, so that led to, I think I emailed you, right? And then we emailed back and forth. Is that kind of how it all started? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we realized like we had, like we both had one child. We were both working outside the home. We both had husbands who had their own businesses. Like we just had, we both been to ag schools. We had the same fabric on our pillows, on our couch. Yes. We just had weird stuff in common.
Yes. And, I remember because I remember you emailed me at one point and you said, if you tell me that you were a Chi Omega, I'm going to call and wake my sister up right now. Because it was like we had so many things in common. That it was like weird.
And then we were then after a while we talked on the phone.
It took us a long time
to talk on the phone. And then you ended up coming here one time. A record label in Nashville wanted us to blog about a Casting Crowns concert, I think. And so they flew you here, and that was when we met in person.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that was like November. Was that November of that year? Or that was November of like the next year, probably. Like November of 2007.
Maybe. I can't remember. It all runs together.
Yeah.
But here's the part that I forget. And I know it's weird to people who weren't around for the blog boom back then. It was such a weird but great little community online of bloggers. And there were so many people who started about the same time.
Yep.
And it was especially like having a young child back then. It felt like this little world. I don't know. It was so strange, but it was such a crazy outlet. And you and I both got really obsessed with the blog stuff and really wanting to like seize the opportunity to write and all that kind of stuff. So it was really good to be able to process that stuff together because neither one of us really is like a spitfire of initiative on our own, but together we kind of talked through it and kind of wondered what it could be and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really like, in a way it was like we were friends, but we were also, it's almost like we were business partners in this.
Yeah.
Like not that there was really a business, but just the whole blog, but the writing stuff and the internet stuff. And it was weird at that time. Like now, you know, if I tell Perry like, oh, this girl I follow on Instagram said to order these pretzels off of Amazon, that seems normal. Well, back then, I mean, that seemed really weird. Like I remember being weird about like, oh, I've got a blog and I've met this friend and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like, it was so weird. And I didn't, like, it took me a while to tell people like that I had friends that I had met online. It was a whole weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then after, I don't know, a couple of years, we did a couple of things. We ended up going to Proverbs 31 to that conference, and we were together there.
Yeah.
So we started doing stuff like that. And then Lifeway asked us to blog for their women's events. And that's really, I mean, like, so we got to travel all over together for a few years.
Yep.
And
we did a compassion trip together.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So it just kind of, but we still always had, I think it was especially in those early days of blogging and finding, because it did seem like a lot of the Christian mommy bloggers were like, they homeschooled their kids. They had like five or six kids. And so for us to have only children and to both be working outside the home and trying to do this blog thing, which we really both enjoyed, just it gave us kind of this commonality. And we both loved college football. So it gave us a lot to talk about.
We had a natural connection, which leads to, this is the next question. This is from, I hope I'm saying this right. I think it's from Chelsea Daly or either Chelsea Daly. I don't know. But it made me laugh because somebody had asked if you still pick out Ree's clothes on the Pioneer Woman for the show. Yeah. And then Chelsea asked, do y'all personally know Ree Drummond? And what's so funny is that when we started the blog, like we were all kind of in it. Like we were all in this little weird little corner of the internet together. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a weird, because I remember I first found out about Ree because remember how people used to give like other bloggers would give like blogging awards. Like it would be like a, remember? Which is so weird that you'd be like, I was voted funniest blog by All Moms Are Good Moms or whatever. Like it was a weird and you'd have like a little thing, but it was like, but I remember like, I think you and me and Ree were all voted for like somebody had nominated us for like funniest blog. And I was like, what's the Pioneer Woman? And I mean, I think at that point, her blog was like pictures of her little bitty kids, because we all had little bitty kids at the time. And then like maybe one recipe. That was it. I mean, it was like, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, and just funny stories of the ranch. But I mean, she hadn't written her love story with Lad yet, which that to me is that's when everybody like really dug in. But it was like, that was before all that. It was like at the very beginning. So, so clearly we've all ended up in about the same place.
I I feel like, really, it's a very similar level of
success.
Of success. Yeah. I mean, it's, you might confuse us, the three of us, but
yeah,
you know, but no, we adore her. We adore her.
Yes. Yes. And we've gotten the chance to, we ended up getting to know her because then I went with Ladd and her kids to the Dominican on a compassion trip. And then through that connection, right, she invited us to come to the lodge, years ago. And so,
that was 8 or 9 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you this, because I always laugh at myself, because that was before her first cookbook. It was like a couple of months before her first cookbook was about to come out. And I remember telling her, hey, I'll make sure to mention your cookbook on my blog to really help you, to really help boost sales. I'm going to help you out and I'll mention that on my blog. So never mind your 6 million readers. I'm going to get my 22 people and we're going to rally around you. See if we can't.
Anything I can do, Ree. Anything I can do.
See if we can't get that thing on the New York Times list for you.
Yeah. You just say the word. She's been so, I mean, she's just been phenomenal to us over the years. And I don't know. I love everything she does and I'm so happy for her. She's the kindest person alive. And so it's been fun to watch her become so, I don't know what the word is. It's not successful. Seems like an understatement.
Yeah, but to watch her media empire take off has been something just really, really cool. But I did used to, early on in the days of her show, I used to shop for her and I would pick out her clothes. And I did that for a long time. I mean, not all of it, not all that she would wear, but just cause she lived in a small town. And so it was just one of those things that I love to shop. And so I would, you know, send things or send her links or whatever, but I really haven't done that. It kind of stopped. I got busier with life. And I think that's when about the time she was opening up the Mercantile. And so, you know, now she's got access to, she can order stuff. And so she doesn't really need me to shop for her anymore, but I did love doing that for a long time.
So no, you don't pick out the clothes, but yes, we do know her and we love her a bunch.
Yep.
Ree is our Real Housewives sister.
Yeah.
Like we break that. We like to break that down together.
We do. That's a commonality that we all share.
Okay. So then Carrie Lee 762 said, how often do you guys get to see each other? And I don't know. It just depends, but usually it works out like twice a year, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like once or twice a year is kind of dependent on. Yeah. But I think that usually, cause there's either a speaking event or like we did the podcast together. Was that the last time we saw each other? Was the podcast in Chicago?
Back in the fall.
Yeah. And we'll see each other this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see each other in the fall in Amarillo.
That's right. Cause we're going to be in, somebody asked if we were to do events together and here's how that works. Like again, Melanie and I are struggling to get a Patreon page up. Okay. So we don't really have the skills required to put events together for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so usually the way that works is, you know, like if a church or a group invites us somewhere, that's why we go speak somewhere. But as far as like us just deciding that we're going to hit the road, we would have to have somebody to kind of take the wheel with that thing. Cause otherwise Melanie and I are just standing in a lobby of a Marriott Courtyard, offering some people some, some strawberry water from the fountain in the lobby.
What we essentially need is some sort of a business/media/PR manager. And here's the deal. We can pay you upwards of, I want to say like minimum wage probably. So if you would like to take that on, just know that is a lucrative opportunity for somebody.
Let's be honest. Honestly, probably our biggest hindrance is we like being home more than that's we like true. Anything in the world.
Yeah, it's true. We are two homebodies that just like to be home. But I keep thinking, here's the thing, though. I feel like after spring of 22, I feel like this thing's really going to take off.
After we get Alex out of high school.
Yeah, that's it. Caroline graduates in spring of 2021. Then you're going to have Alex's senior year. So we're going to need to get through that. But then we're going to both find ourselves with a lot of free time is what I'm saying.
Right.
And so at that point, we might be motivated for this thing to really take off. So if y'all just hang on for the next 4 or 5 years, it's going to be golden. Those are really going to be... It's going to be our prime years.
Oh, golly. So we are going to be in Amarillo, Texas, though, in September of this year. Yes. We're going to be with Knox and Jamie from the Popcast doing a benefit for Amarillo Angels. And so we will be there if anybody would like to join us in West Texas. That's where we'll be.
It's going to be fun.
Okay. Next question. This is putting you on the spot. This is from Kaylee B. Franklin. She said, what are your favorite restaurants in your cities? We got this question actually several times from people who are going to be traveling either to Birmingham or to San Antonio and just kind of wanted to know what are the places that we like. Okay. So I say, let's do a couple of casual places and maybe a nicer like date nighty kind of place.
Okay. All right. You want to start?
Okay. Sure. Okay, so there are so many great places in Birmingham. One of our favorites kind of across the family is a place called Melt, which is in Avondale in Birmingham. And they just do a lot of really inventive takes on grilled cheeses, which I know you're like, but it's so good. Okay. And they have great appetizers. There, anybody in it, like if you were going with your family, if you've got little kids, they would be so happy with that. But if you have a little bit of a foodie side and like you would be happy with it too. And so we love Melt. It's one of our favorite places to go. If we have company or something like that. And then across the street from Melt, there's a cookie dough place. And then around the corner, there's an ice cream place called Big Spoon Creamery that's a local creamery. It's delicious. Ah. So it's just kind of a fun little place to land if you're in Birmingham and you want a fun lunch.
Okay.
So that would be my lunch choice.
Okay. Those are good.
Do you have a lunch choice in San Antonio?
I don't, lunch I feel like is tricky. Because I really don't eat out for lunch much. Like, I mean, I feel like Gully and I meet for lunch, but like we'll meet at like Zoe's Kitchen or Torchy's or like somewhere like that. There is a place called Order Up that we love. That's just like a local kind of, and they've got burgers, pizza, tacos. I mean, super casual. You order at the counter and it's a good, quick, lunch and it's unique to San Antonio. But if I were going to go super casual, like, and I would never eat this for lunch, but Chris Madrid's, is a hamburger place.
I've had one of those.
Yeah. And they have a tostada burger. That's like a bean burger with like refried beans and like melted cheddar cheese and tortilla chips. And they have like homemade salsa and like, I love a Chris Madrid's burger. That's like one of my favorite. And it's a fun, cause it's just, I mean, we pick it up a lot of times just to go, but it's like, if you go in there, it's just super casual burger place. You can sit out on the patio and have a beer or whatever. It's a good little, I don't know. I just feel like San Antonio people know about Chris Madrid's. So.
Okay. If I was going to do fancier here in Birmingham, there's so many good options. Probably the most famous nice restaurant in Birmingham is Highlands Bar and Grill, which is a Frank Stitt restaurant. It's really like it's a really special occasion restaurant. You can't just roll up there on a Friday night and say, hey, we're here. You got to kind of have to get restaurants way. I mean, you have to get reservations way in advance. Okay. We went to another one of his restaurants one time when you were here. Remember we went to Bottega?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and that's really good. There's a place called Cafe DuPont downtown that I love. I love their filet. You've been there too, Melanie. We went there with Compassion.
Oh, that's right. Remember? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. So I love that. And Hot and Hot Fish Club is a great restaurant. There are just tons and tons of really good places to eat. So I would say you can't go wrong with any of those. There's a place called Bellini's. It's a little outside of Birmingham, but they have one of my favorite steaks. Chuck's Fish is great. There's a lot of good places to eat around here. Brick and Tin is also another fun place for a casual lunch. And if you want pizza, Davenport's Pizza in Mountain Brook is phenomenal. So lots of good choices.
I would say we just don't eat out, like, we don't eat out fancy very much. I would say, we're going to do a date night thing, like, there's a place called Cappy's that we like that's just a locally owned place, and it's just really good. I mean, they've got, like, shrimp and steak, and I love their Brussels sprouts are delicious. They have a kale salad that I love, and it's a lunch place, too, but it's just, to me, it's more of a dinner place is when we usually go, but I think Cappy's is really good. So we'll go there a lot. Our favorite, like where Perry and I go pretty much every weekend is, it's a well, I'll say newer. It's probably about 3 years old now, but it's called Sabor. And it's a, just a super casual Mexican place. And it's, you know, just nothing fancy. It's small, but like they have the best cheese enchiladas. Like I go and I get the Tampiqueña every time, which is like a perfectly grilled, like flavorful steak with one cheese enchilada and refried beans and rice. And it's so good.
I feel like I've heard you mention that place. Yeah,
we love Sabor. Like if we're in town, like on a Friday night, we're at Sabor. Like it's, I just love it. But then there's a place, there's another place. I mean, San Antonio's got so much Mexican food. There's Paloma Blanca, which is right down from us. We pick up from there a ton and they've just got great. It's more like authentic, like a lot of fish and ceviche and that kind of stuff. So we love Paloma Blanca. It's really good. And then I'm trying to think, there's Dough Pizzeria, which is a family owned place here. And they do those really good, like thin wood fired pizzas, real flavorful. And we love to go there sometimes. And that's really, Oh, and then anywhere down now, I would be remiss. So the whole Pearl Brewery area in San Antonio is like restaurant haven. So like if you come to San Antonio, you've got to go down to the Pearl Brewery because they've really turned that into like a little food mecca. So there's the Hotel Emma, which is worth going in just to see because it's incredible and so beautiful. And they have a bar where you can go and get like little like heavy appetizers sitting in the bar. But it's like there's fireplaces and couches and round booths, and it's just a really cool atmosphere. And then there's all kinds of restaurants around there. There's Granary, which is like an upscale barbecue. There's a place called Down on Grayson, which is just like really good, like sandwiches and salads and stuff like that. There's a place called Southerly that's kind of like Southern style comfort food. There's a place called Cure that's like upscale charcuterie type stuff.
Yes, I want to go to there.
Yeah, I know. If when you come to San Antonio at some point, we've got to go there like that. And then they've got like a, they've got like gourmet ice cream places. And then they have like a whole little food bar thing where you can go in and they've got like, the ramen, you can get churros made, they have burgers. It's just a cool, like place where you can kind of find whatever you would want to find. So if I were coming to San Antonio to visit, that's where I would go, is that area.
That sounds fantastic.
It really is. I mean, it's like when I go down, I've lived in San Antonio long enough that I used to, Gelly and I used to always say San Antonio's slogan could be keep San Antonio lame, because it was just kind of, it's like keep Austin weird, keep San Antonio lame. It was real. So like the Pearl now, when you go down there, you're like, well, who knew that we were this cool? Like this is super cool because they've got a lawn and you can order wine and have like wine or beer out on the lawn and you can get food, snacks. And it's just a really cool atmosphere. So.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah. So the end.
Hey y'all, it's me, all by myself in the middle of the podcast because I want to tell you about a couple of things. The first one of those things is Myro. Myro delivers obsession-worthy, naturally effective deodorant that looks as good as it smells. They make their natural deodorant with a custom blend of essential oils that release over time to keep you fresh and barley powder to keep you dry. Their formula is hardworking, it's long-lasting, with no toxic anything. 0% aluminum, 0% parabens. Their ingredients are clinically tested for safety and efficacy. Here's how it works. You choose your scent and the color of your case, and then you get a refresh every 3 months delivered straight to your door, conveniently timed for when most people run out. You can, though, you can switch scents, you can press pause, or you can stop literally any time that you want. I have been wanting to try a natural deodorant for a while, and y'all, I love this product. It smells so great. It smells like oils. It doesn't smell perfumey or artificial, and it works really well. It's so neat when you find something that you're going to use every day anyway, but you find a version of it that has no aluminum, it has no parabens. Just feel better about using it. So, if you would like to give Myro a try, you can get 50% off your first order and get started today for just $5. Visit mymyro.com, that's mymyro.com/bigboo, and use the promo code bigboo. Again, get 50% off your first order and get started today for just $5. Visit mymyro.com, mymyro.com/bigboo, and use the promo code bigboo. Here's the second thing I want to mention to y'all. Y'all are so kind to listen to our podcast. when the sound, the production schedule, all of these things are very inconsistent, and we don't always know exactly what we're doing. But don't we have fun? We have us a good time. So if you enjoy listening to our podcast, and we hope you do, if you would go to iTunes or whatever your favorite podcasting distribution point happens to be and leave us a review, that would be awesome. So helpful for us with our advertisers, so helpful for us as we continue to try to grow this little thing. So thanks a bunch, y'all. And here we go, back to episode 138.
Okay, so this is, I'm going to do three more questions because I think that's probably all we have time to do. But this is a serious question. This is from, I'm going to say it wrong, but I'm just going to say it was from Haley because I don't know. I'm going to mess up the back part of that username.
Okay.
But she wants to know how we, and we got this question a lot, how we knew we were done after having just one child. We got that question that's second only to the question of how we met.
Wow. Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I mean, here's how I knew. Like, I didn't have a second one. I don't know. Like, here's what I think. I'm not trying to be glib about it.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is what people probably, this may be hard to understand about me. I am not a person who ever dreamed about having a bunch of children.
Yeah.
And even when we got married, I was not sure I wanted to have children at all. So when we had Alex, obviously I fell in love with him. I fell in love with motherhood, the whole thing, and would have been so happy if I had had another child or two more children or whatever. But just the way, for whatever reason, sort of the events of our life fell into place, which was just a couple of different struggles that we walked through when he was little and, and up until the time he started really, I guess, to first grade, it was just, there was never a time when it seemed like the right time to have another child. Like where it I would even say where it seemed like it almost seemed unwise. Like it just, so, and by the time he was in first grade, I was 40.
Yeah.
So, and so I was just kind of like, well, you know what? This is what we have. And, and I think because I had never been a person or had really given a whole lot of thought to having a big family. Now, listen, if I would have been so happy if I had had another child or two other children.
Yeah.
But I have really, I think, maybe been unusually, strangely, really kind of deeply content with our one. I don't know. I don't know anything different. And I think I've mentioned this before, that one time my friend Norma Kay said to me when our kids were little that every family is a perfect family. Like it's just what it is. So I don't know any other dynamic than this one. And I love this one. So I'm super happy with it. And I've also said on here before, I always pray that if he was our only one, that he would have friends who feel like family. And like, that is a place where I feel like the Lord has, I mean, that's an Ephesians 3:20 place for me. Like the Lord has done exceedingly and abundantly more than I could have imagined in that spot. He just I feel like it's deeply rooted in relationships. And so I don't know. That's how there is my story.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I'm kind of same. I mean, I feel like Perry and I'm same. Like in my mind, I think before we had kids, I probably would have said, oh, we'll probably have two kids. I mean, just cause that to me seemed like that seems like what we'll have. I mean, just, and I think that was even, we're kind of right on that. Like, I feel like these younger families are starting to have three or four kids. And I feel like our age group, by and large, not a lot of people had three or four kids. Like that was kind of an anomaly more than the norm. So like in my mind, the people I looked at or that were older than me, it was like, they've got two kids. So I guess, I have one sister. So I was like, that seems normal. And then we had Caroline, and I think kind of same deal. I mean, I think at first I was a working mom, so it was trying to balance all of that. And then I quit working. And so then it was like a matter of, well, we don't have maternity insurance. And so that, because we were both self-employed. So it's like, well, this isn't a good time. And then it was kind of like the longer, and Perry, I think, knew early on where he was like, I'm so good with one. Like I'm happy.
David was too. Always so good with one.
Yeah. Like it was never the kind of thing. So I knew he was content with one. And so I think the only time I ever really struggled was right before Caroline started kindergarten. It was like, it was just so weird that she was going off to school at the time. And I was like, am I going to want to have another one? Am I going to regret not having another one? Same thing. I mean, I was creeping up on 40 and it was like, am I going to want to? And I just knew really clearly. I mean, I prayed about it and I knew, I was like, that's not in the cards for me. And I do have to say that was God knowing me better than I knew myself, because I think I worried, I don't think it was so much that I wanted another baby at the time. It was that, was I going to regret later that I didn't? And right. I have to say, I don't regret that I didn't. Like, it was absolutely the right decision for us, for our family.
I don't regret it either. And again, I think it would be different probably if I hadn't, if I had had something in my mind of what I thought it was going to be. And then I did, but like, I didn't have anything in my, I didn't have any preconceived notion of what it would be like to have a family in my head.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And so, I don't know. I think probably some of the maternal stuff in me, I mean, obviously I work with teenagers, so I think a lot of that kind of maternal energy, I've never lacked for a place to put that, you know, like I've always had my girls at school, and I guess, you know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. And I think different people, and I think that's why it's so hard, because like I'll have people email me that are like, you know, we only have one and we don't know, should we have another? And I'm like, it's such a personal decision. Like only you,
it really is.
Only you can know that. I mean, and so it's like, it has worked out for me and I know it's worked out for you. And I'm so content with our decision and I've never regretted it. But I'm also like, I can't say that that's going to be somebody else's story. You know, I mean, you've just got to.
Absolutely not.
You got to work that thing out, you know, because I'm sure there are people with five kids that are like, well, I can't believe you just have one. But it's like that.
And can't imagine their life without those five kids. Mm-hmm. And I would say that family's what it's meant to be. Like, I don't know. I just, again, and I'm not trying to be unsympathetic to people who have, certainly people who have struggled with infertility or have had adoptions fall through over and over and over again. Like, I'm not trying to be glib about that at all. Because I can only imagine the heartache and the pain of that. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't ever presume to tell anybody else how they should do it. All I know is what my experience has been. And I also know that the Lord has given me great contentment in my relationships with kids that don't necessarily live in my house.
Yes. Yes. And I think, and I look at the same, because I think if I know my personality and I know what I can handle, and if I had had multiple kids, I would have never had my writing career. And I would have felt very unfulfilled had I not had that. Like that has been such a gift in my life where I'm like, I think God knew like this. And I mean, and I remember that, and this is like taking it, but I mean, I remember very clearly when Caroline had just started kindergarten and I knew God was telling me like, you're going to give birth to something, but it's not another child. And
I remember the day you told me that.
And I mean, I've always, and that was so true. And that was kind of the beginning of me figuring that out. And I think if I had had an infant, it would have been, I know there are women that do it and they can do it. I'm not one of those people. I mean, like I can't manage chaos and do this other. So I just look and go, this was my calling. And so I'll take that. I mean, so it's just, I think that's it, as you look and go, when God calls you to something that either looks different than you thought, or it's just like, okay, well, what does the other look like? Because it does mean there's something else there. It's just figuring out what that thing is.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. I don't know. I think we can put a lot of expectations on each other for what family's supposed to look like. And I don't think there's a recipe. And I think too, I think honestly, it probably made it easier for me after we went through, you know, sort of a couple of different things that were sort of difficult in our family after Alex was born. I think probably having you helped me sort of be at peace with where we were.
Yeah.
Because you were doing that too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? We were kind of in a similar spot. And so, I would just, not that anybody has asked, but I would think do you need to
go? No, that was my alarm going off, but I don't know why. I don't know why. There's no reason.
Anyway, I just think, we can all give each other a wide berth.
Yeah.
When it comes to all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, because I had friends who have 4 or 5 kids who talk about people who come up to them in the grocery store and go, "Don't you know how that happens?"
Yeah. Like,
that's ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
did she ask you to weigh in on her choices with her family?
No, I don't think so.
I must have missed that. And when the greeter welcomed me.
Yes. And it does go into, it's just so, it's one of those things. It's such a personal decision. So
it's so personal. Yeah. It is. Now I will say, I think I've loved being a mama more than anything I've ever done.
Me too.
So much to my surprise. Yeah. So there you have it. Okay. Somebody asked, it's Becca. Becca, I'm not going to say the last part of your username right, but she had a question for me and a question for you. Here was her question for me. She said, "What is your position at school? I can't figure it out." Becca, listen, sometimes I feel the same way. So I was an English teacher at my school for a really long time. And about 4 years ago, really 5 years ago, the person who had my job, my friend Ann, before I did, asked me if I might be interested in stepping into that role when she left. And then they renamed it after she left, she retired. So my title is Dean of Women. And when I say a lot of the time that sounds fancy, but my job's really not. My job is to love and to disciple our girls at school. So it means every day's different. It means I'm constantly in conversation with girls between 9th and 12th grade. Sometimes the discipleship side is formal. Most of the time it's really informal. You know, they come in with something on their mind and we talk through that thing. And so my responsibility is to sort of help them look at the different stuff in their life from a biblical worldview, from the stuff that they hear in their Bible classes. Like, what does that look like when you put some feet to that thing practically in the daily, day-to-day stuff? So all that to say, I don't deal with serious issues with our girls. We have a really great guidance department that does that. If something is, if there's an issue with depression or an eating disorder or something like that, that I would refer to the people who are more trained to deal with that stuff. I'm really dealing with just kind of the real life stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when their hearts hurting a little bit, or when they're discouraged or frustrated or that kind of stuff. And it's a bunch of fun.
And you're really good at it. You're really good at it because it's a testament to the couple of times I've been there. It's like your office is swarming. They're always wanting in your office, which I think when the kids want to be around you, it means you're doing something right.
Well, they also know there's a big basket of candy in there, so that doesn't hurt. But
you can get candy other places. You can get candy other places.
What's been so fun for me this year? This is why David says when Alex graduates, he's probably going to have to send me away for a while. I mean, like Brittany, you may have a hashtag Melanie that says free Sophie after
free
that. But this year with Alex being in 9th grade, I am with him and his friends so much. And it was really unexpected because you kind of think, well, you've got a high school boy, he's going to ignore me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But every morning him and his buddies come and they hang out in my office.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of days they eat lunch in my office. And so that's been just like the biggest blast. That's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's that is super fun.
Okay, so the question that she has for you, Melanie, is what is the ranch that Melanie always talks about? I've always wondered.
So there's a couple of different ones. So the main one, like when I talk about Perry going to the ranch, so Perry's dad passed away when Perry was 9. And so he's always been really close to his godfather. His godfather has a ranch south of town that pretty much he kind of has Perry kind of manages for him. So Perry goes down there and just makes sure that the cattle are taken care of and, you know, out of all the stuff, like just, I don't know what.
There are a lot of things that Perry can tick off a list.
Yes. He burns the land in the spring because I need to do that. And he feeds the deer and quail and all that kind of stuff. And he plants food plots and he does different stuff down there. So, and then there's also like tanks, which some of us know is like ponds, but apparently they're tanks where you go down and you fish. So you can fish in the tanks. And so Perry will clean around the tanks. So that's the main place that Perry goes when I say Perry was at the ranch. But then we also have some very dear friends that Perry hunts with a lot during hunting season. So a lot of times when he and Caroline are gone hunting at the ranch, they're down at these friends, at this friend's ranch, which that is, it's like, I will go down there because that's like staying like, I mean, that's like you're at a ranch resort. I mean, it's nice. Right. It's the house is nice. It's, I mean, it's super nice. We, you know, we love these friends. Perry, they have younger girls who just love Caroline. And so Caroline loves being down there with the girls. And so a lot of times when they go on hunting weekends and they're at the ranch, that's there with those friends at the ranch. So
there you go. There are two ranches.
There are two ranches. And then there's other, I mean, Perry's got other friends. I mean, he grew up in, to me, what was so weird is I didn't know because I grew up more in like the Houston area. But in here in South Texas, it's like everybody, so many people in our neighborhood either have a ranch or have access to a ranch or they have a deer lease on a ranch or there's lots of ranching going on.
Right. Well, that's like in Alabama, that's either a hunting camp or we're going to the lake.
Yeah.
Like you've got a place that people have places on the lake or they might have farmland, but yeah. We're going to the farm, we're going to the lake or we're going to the deer camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hunting camp.
And down here, it's pretty much like if you're headed south, I mean, if you're going, I mean, people have cattle and stuff on their ranch, but I mean, it's cactus. It's, I mean, like it's hunting, like it's a lot of hunting land once you get into South Texas and it's a big business. I mean, we have friends that like, that's what they do is they own like professional hunting ranches where people pay to fly down from wherever and hunt big deer and all that kind of stuff.
So it's a whole different world, the South Texas.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. So, yeah, so that's where Perry goes, but he grew up with that and his family used to have ranches. And so to him, that's just a real normal part of life. And he knows how to do all that ranchy stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's all we have time for. Just to tell y'all, Melanie and I talked about this again, keep in mind, we're not administrative. It may take us a minute, but one of the things that we would like to do is to kind of group these questions. There were a lot of parenting questions. There were some beauty questions and there were some fashion questions. And so so we would like to kind of group those and let that be part of the bonus content that we eventually do through Patreon, hopefully sooner as opposed to later.
Yes, we are going to get on that. I feel good about it because school really gets out in about a month. And so I feel like that'll give us some time.
Yes. One of the things somebody asked us, by the way, was to please, a couple of people ask us to please have Travis back on soon. So we will get on that too and try to make that happen for
you. We do need to do that. And oh, I do want to say, I did see one question and I can answer this really quickly. So I just want to say so many people, because I've gotten it in my Instagram DMs too, have asked about my Opal ice machine. I will say it works like a charm. I highly recommend it. So I'm still so thrilled with it. It's great. Don't believe the Amazon reviews because there's some people that were not happy. Mine has been beautiful and I love it every day. The end.
Oh, that's the best.
So I just wanted to wrap up with that.
Okay. All right. Well, we will. We'll come back soon. We hope with some other content.
That's right.
But thanks, y'all, for the questions. And if we didn't answer yours this time, there's a really good chance that we will answer it in the future because we're going to save them.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. All right, y'all. Well, we hope you have a good rest of the week, and we will talk to y'all later.
Talk to you later.
Bye, y'all.